Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, tonight, I'm going to do something a little different. I want to start out with a little information about the Bible. You know, the Bible has 66 books in it, the Holy Bible that we use, written by 40 different authors, roughly, over approximately 1,500 years span. There's 1,189 chapters and over 31,000 verses in the King James Version of the Bible. And I tell you that because right smack in the middle of that word is probably one of the most profound statements written in all the Word of God. Turn with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. Amen? And the next verse is just as good. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in priests or princes. And that verse is talking about putting confidence in authority or in government. And one of the reasons that I brought that up is because I've been watching the news a little bit about the firestorm in California. Are all of you aware of the firestorm down in California? I was watching it because I have a son and a daughter-in-law who went down last week to visit family that's down there, and they're right down in San Diego. And so I was watching it and trying to figure out where they were at, because I didn't know exactly where they're at. So we called and found out, and they didn't know anything about it. They didn't even know what was happening, and it was 3 days into the firestorm. So obviously they got there okay, and they turned the news on, and they couldn't believe what they saw. Well, they're east of the mountain ridge, apparently, where they're at. And it's going west, so. And then last night, Pastor Don called me and asked me if I would take the service tonight. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I told the Lord, went in and told Laura that we were going to cover for him. And I went in to brush my teeth because I just finished eating. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, in whom would you trust if that firestorm was affecting you? And I said, Lord, it is affecting me. I have family there. But I'd trust in you, of course. And he said, would you? And I went, what? He says, would you? He said, there are many Christians who would not because they don't know how. They don't understand my trust. He said, if the Christians can't do it, how can you expect the world out there that's being affected right now to trust in me? And I got to thinking, that's kind of interesting. And then I remembered one of the newscasts I watched. They were interviewing a man and a woman who were standing in front of their house, or what used to be their house. And they were talking to them, and they asked them, so what were you able to get before you had to leave? And the woman says, well, we got our baby and a couple of small baskets of stuff. And they ask a few more questions. And finally, the interviewer said, so, if you don't mind, what did you bring out in the baskets? Could you tell us or show us? And they had the baskets in front of them. And she reached down and she pulled up a picture book. She said, my baby pictures. A bag of diapers. Some baby clothes. A few important papers. And then she said, and most importantly, my Bible. Can you see where her trust was? And that's what the Lord's talking about. He wants us to put our trust in Him no matter what is happening. And right now, there are close to 500,000 people that have been forced into evacuation down there. that don't know whether they're going to have a home to go back to or not. Some of the firemen out fighting the fires have probably even lost their homes, whether they know it or not. They've lost everything in the natural that they had. Who are they going to trust? Who are they going to turn to? Well, turn to the government. I remember Katrina and the government was really slow to react. But they opened up the big Qualcomm stadium down there where the Chargers play. And they've got about 20,000 people in there. Where'd the rest go? Well, they found other places. But what I thought was interesting, they were doing some interviews in that stadium, and they asked this one guy how he thought he fared. He says, "I thank God we're alive." That was his answer. And then they showed people, not the government, people like you and I. I'd like to believe that most of them are Christians, but they brought in food, water, toys for the kids. There was even clowns in today entertaining the kids. All free. They're not charging anything. These people that are out of homes are getting taken care of when they didn't know how they were going to be taken care of. Some of them didn't have any money with them. They left so fast they didn't even get their checkbooks. And I thought it was funny that he would ask me, "Would you?" Because I really think I would. But I've not had something like that happen to me. What would I really do? I'd like to believe that I would turn all my trust over to him and say, "Okay, you gave it to me. Take care of me. It's gone." But that's hard to do. It's hard to say. And that's where these people are at right now. And so tonight I want to look at trust and how we can trust him and why we should trust him. What he's done to us or given to us that should cause us to trust him. That word trust in Psalm 118 is translated in the Hebrew to mean, and I thought this was interesting, to flee to or to run to for protection. And they translated it trust. To flee to or to run to for protection. Trust in the Lord. Flee to or run to the Lord for his protection. Amen? Instead of running to man. God instructed us in his word that we were to trust him. Proverbs chapter 3. We all know it, but I'm going to read it to you again. Amen? If I read it to you enough, maybe we'll get it. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That word trust there is the same Hebrew word that says is translated to flee to or to run to for protection. Same word. To flee to or run to the Lord for protection with all your heart. Amen? Instead of running or leaning on your own understanding. He wants us in any situation, in facing any trial or test, not to try and take care of it ourselves, not to try and turn to someone else to take care of it for us. He wants us to turn to him and say, "Okay, here it is." And I've said this before, I like to think I have when I was working, I had an inbox and an outbox and a hold box. And I like to think of it this way, the inbox was things for Jesus to do. Amen? If I put the things for Jesus to do in that box, and then I take them back out, it's like my boss coming by putting something in my inbox for me to do and then turn around later and taking it back. I can't do it. He took it back. Well, if you put something in the inbox for Jesus to do and then take it back, he can't do it. Amen? He wants us to trust in him in all we do. So let's look at some reasons. And I don't think we're going to be long tonight. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. It's going to be good. Amen? Some reasons to trust Him. And I think one of the best reasons that we should trust God is to be known by Him. Because if you're not known by Him, that means you're not fellowshipping with Him. And if you're not fellowshipping with Him, He can't help you. Turn with me to the book of Nahum. That's right after Micah and right before Habakkuk, for those pages that are stuck together. Amen. The book of Nahum, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knows those who trust in Him. He knows those who trust in Him. Amen? If we trust in Him, He knows us. But it also says He's good and He's a stronghold in a time of trouble. Amen? Reasons to trust Him, to be known by Him. Do you know that God knows you? Many don't know. That's why they won't trust in Him. Amen? My God knows me. He pulled me out of the miry clay. He's got to know me. Amen? But I trust in Him also. Amen? Praise God. How about this one? We want to trust Him for our steadfastness. Steadfastness, meaning to be set on a certain path in a certain way, and immovable. Amen? Go to Psalm 125. Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. When you trust in the Lord, you become an immovable object. You become a mountain in the sense that you're immovable. Amen? Not immovable that you're stubborn, but immovable that you trust in your God and what He's going to do for you, and you don't rely on the things of the world. When you set your mind to the things that God has told you to do, you cannot be moved or swayed from Him when you trust in Him. If you don't trust in Him, you're easily swayed. Amen? Let's go on. Let's look at the next verse. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. Now, you got to take that in conjunction with the first verse. When you trust in Him, when you trust in the Lord, He makes you an immovable mountain and He surrounds you. Amen? Remember the story? I think it was Elijah and Elisha. And they were being attacked. And the Lord opened His eyes so that He could see a horde of angels that were surrounding them that were far greater than those who were trying to come against them. See, the Lord surrounds those who trust in Him. And I honestly believe with all my heart that I have a host of angels with me wherever I go. Whether I see them or not doesn't matter. I know for a fact that sometimes some people have seen them and turned away from doing things to me that they were going to do. There's no other explanation. Amen. I'm not big and macho and strong, but my angels are. Amen. Amen. And they were sent to minister to me and on my behalf. Amen. Go back to Psalm 31. When you trust in the Lord, He makes you steadfast and immovable from what He has for you. Okay? Not necessarily what you want to do. Psalm 31, verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Lead me and guide me. When you put your trust in the Lord, He will lead you and He will guide you on His paths that He has for you. And those paths that He has for you will do what verse 4 says. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. When you follow your own paths, those snares that are laid for you are going to get you. But when you put your trust in the Lord and you let Him lead and guide you, He will lead and guide you away from the snares. Amen? If you put your trust in Him. If you don't question Him. How about putting your trust in God for strength and peace? He is my strength, always. Amen? Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. Beginning with verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. See, when you put your trust in the Lord and you keep your mind stayed on Him, then He will give you perfect peace. Because when He gives you perfect peace, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. I saw some people interviewed that to me were still at perfect peace, even though they had just lost everything. Like the woman that said, and the most important thing, I got my Bible. Yeah. They lost a house. So what? It's material things. It can be replaced. Life and babies and memories are hard to replace. Amen? And it doesn't matter where she's at now. She has her God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. There's one more verse. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. See, my strength comes from Him. I'm not strong in the natural. I'm not strong in the spirit. I'm strong in the Spirit of the Lord that resides within me. Because I put my trust in Him, I rely on Him, and I turn to Him when I'm in need. Amen? And then Philippians chapter 4. We all know it, but I'm going to read it to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? His peace is perfect. His peace is beyond my understanding. But it's there. If I turn to Him, if I put my trust in Him, if I call on Him in a time of need, He'll give me perfect peace. See, I started to get anxious because my son and daughter-in-law were down there. I didn't know if they drove or flew, but I knew they were in an area or at least had to pass through an area where there's fire. I tried calling him on the cell phone. He didn't answer. So I went home and I had my wife call the daughter-in-law's parents' house. We had their phone. And here's how calm it was. They knew nothing about the fire. The fire's been raging for 3 days, and they're within probably 100 miles of it. And they knew nothing of it. She had to go turn the TV on to find out. My son and daughter-in-law were on vacation visiting her parents because they're getting ready to move back to the East Coast. And they had no need of any news. They were fellowshipping, and they were, I'm sure, were with the Lord, because my son and daughter-in-law both love the Lord also. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "Why are you worried? Where's your trust?" They're fine. Amen. I want to read the Philippians verse out of the Amplified to you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. In the Amplified, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, through definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Boy, does that sound like he's going to do a lot or what? Amen? That peace that passes all understanding. And I have that peace because my trust is in God. Hallelujah. Another reason we should put our trust in Him, for safety and refuge. And I've already read some verses that talked about refuge and a fortress. But let's look at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 25. "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be in fear." Is that what it says? No, it says whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. You're in fear when you trust in man. Amen? But when you trust in the Lord, you shall be safe. He didn't say maybe. He said you shall be safe. Psalm 9. Psalm 9, verse 9. "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." He's a refuge in times of trouble, and when you know His name and you put your trust in Him, He will not forsake you. He said in His Word, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you or leave you orphans." Come on. Amen? He is our safety and our refuge. Oh, how about this one? I can't pass this over. This is my favorite one. Turn to Psalm 91. Come on. Psalm 91 is my favorite psalm. If you haven't figured that out by now, you soon will. Amen? I love it. The Lord is so good. I mean, just listen to what He'll do here. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Amen? When you abide in the shadow of the Almighty, nothing can get near you. I said nothing can get near you. Go to verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Why? Because He gives His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. See, I know I have angels. It says so right there. And this word is truth. Every jot and tittle of it. Yeah? The secret place. That's what I like to call Psalm 91. It's the secret place where only Him and I can be together. You can't be there with me. Sorry. You have to have your own secret place. How about this? Trust in Him to be satisfied. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes people misquote that. I believe what that means is He'll put the desires in your heart that He wants you to have. Yeah. Come on. Not what you want. People try to use that to get things they want. That's not what it means. It means He's going to give you His desires for you. Amen. Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and beginning with verse 7. Are we there? Verse 7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Let's stop right there for just a minute. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Do you understand that? Do you know how precious His loving kindness is towards you? Because if you don't, how can you trust in Him? You've got to know His loving kindness or you can't trust in Him. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. There's why I can step into the shadow of the Almighty. Because I know His loving kindness toward me. Amen. Verse 8. They are abundantly satisfied. Not just satisfied people, abundantly satisfied. Probably above and beyond that which they could ever dream or desire. Because my God is a great God. Amen. He's a big God. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. The fullness of His house, not mine. When it says your, it's talking about God's house. Amen. We are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of His house. There's nothing that God doesn't have. Think about it. There's nothing that God doesn't have. We're satisfied with the abundance of His house. The fullness of His house. And you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. We drink from God's river of His pleasures. That river of life. The joy. Amen. You wonder why you can be like that when all, pardon me, hell is breaking off around you? Because it's His river. It's His pleasure. And He gives it to you. Amen. How about this one? We can trust in Him for deliverance. You want to be delivered from something? Put your trust in God. 2 Corinthians, Paul makes a very bold statement about deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. See, it doesn't matter what you're searching for deliverance from. Trust in the Lord will deliver you. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul made this declaration. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Doesn't say what the trouble is. Just some trouble. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. They were troubled so bad that they were in fear of their lives. That's what it says. Amen? It didn't say fear, it said despaired. But they were expecting death from whatever was going on. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. It's kind of turned around, but he's saying trust in God, not in yourself. Let's go on. Let me read that again. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. Paul said he not only delivered us, he will still deliver us if we put our trust in him. Amen? And he didn't say what it was. He just said that it was a very bad situation. Amen? These people down in California right now, they've got a very bad situation at hand. In the natural, anyways. If they put their trust in God, God will deliver them. I really believe that God has moved on the hearts of some of those people at that stadium that are providing food and clothing to these people in need. Whether they're Christian or not, doesn't matter. I believe God has moved on their hearts. Amen? They saw people in need and their hearts went out to them. That's an act of Christian love, whether they know it or not. It's an act of godly love. The God kind of love is reaching out to those people in need. If they only put their trust in him, he'll take care of them. We should put our trust in God because he's good. He's above all things. Amen? Psalm 100. Oh, yeah. Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. Think about that for a minute. He just spoke to me. Everything I have, at one time I thought I made or made come about. It's not true. God gave me the ability to get wealth. Therefore, everything I have or own, God gave me. He made me what I am. Thank you, Lord. Know that He is the Lord. He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. He is good, and His mercy endures forever and ever. Amen. God is good. And then, I'm sure there's lots of others, but those are the ones that he brought out to me. And then he pointed out what I'll call additional instructions that he put in his word. And it has to do with trusting him, but you have to see it. It doesn't say, trust me. Okay? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he gave some instructions to Timothy to share with the rich. And he probably pointed this out to me because there are a lot of expensive homes down there, a lot of rich people, stars and stuff. And a lot of them have been displaced. Quite a few of them have been displaced. I know for one, Tanya Tucker and a couple others were evacuated. And I think there was a big castle down there that was just totally destroyed. And you think, how can a castle be destroyed? It's all stone. Well, this was a replica and it wasn't all stone. But it was a pretty famous castle. And they showed a picture of it. It was burning. The insides, anyways. Amen. But so anyways, he gave Timothy some instructions in 1 Timothy chapter 6 to give to the rich. Let's begin with verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age. Notice he clarified that. Rich in this present age. Not rich in the age to come or what they've laid up for eternal life, but rich in material things right now is what he's saying. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. See, he left out the word, but trust in the living God. It's implied. If you're not trusting in riches, then you trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give and willing to share. We got people down in California right now that are sharing probably above and beyond what they really in the natural can. They're probably giving of their own substance right now because people are in need. I really believe that. They haven't said that. They haven't said it anywhere. I just, watching the names and the interviews, I really believe that's what's going on. Amen? Being ready to give and willing to share. Verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come. See, tell them not to worry about these riches that they currently have. Tell them to trust God and get their heavenly account built up instead. Amen? For the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. All those riches, all those expensive homes, where are they now? They're gone. They're ash. Amen? They aren't going to do them any good. What will do them good is what they've laid up for their accounts in heaven, those who know and trust in God. About Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. Luke 12:16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. Now this is a warning to the rich. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store all these crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my old barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the warning is here. He said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Whose will things be provided? He wasn't trusting in the Lord. He was trusting in his own strengths and in his own riches and what he could lay up, not what God provided him. Amen. We need to remember that our sufficiency comes from God, not from ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. If you're a personal worker, you know these. Amen. Verses 4 and 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being of ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Who are you trusting in if your sufficiency is from God? You're not trusting in yourself. You're putting your trust in Him. And yes, maybe this is talking about the sufficiency to be a minister if you go on. But it applies across the board. My sufficiency as a minister isn't mine. I stand before the Lord as a witness. When I was in high school, I skipped my speech classes on the days I had to give speech because I couldn't do it. He sits in the heavens and laughs now. You think that's funny? So does he. Because what has he done to me? That which I couldn't do in my own strength, he's done. Go figure. Amen? And then, last but not least, we need to cast all of our cares. Not just trust Him, but cast our cares on Him. Amen? 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, I talked about the inbox or the box, the things that for Jesus to do. That's casting your cares on Him. When I tap something come in that I know I shouldn't deal with, but He should, and I put it in that box of things for Jesus to do, that's casting my cares on Him. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. He'll take care of it. And every time I've put something in that box and said, Lord, this is yours, you deal with it, it's been dealt with in a swift and timely manner. Amen? As long as I didn't take it back out. If I took it back out, he couldn't finish it. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's start with verse 6. It's all good, but, well, start with 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That's a good start for submitting yourself to God. Amen? Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Amen? And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. So if you don't know that He cares for you, you have no reason to cast your cares on Him. But you have to look at Him as a father. What father is there that doesn't care for his child? Come on. When I had a son, I cared for him. It may not look like it sometimes, but in their heart they do. Amen. I know there are some strange people out there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's blowing about right now in California as a roaring fire. And he is devouring all those that he can. It's interesting. Some of those housing places where the fires come through, It's wiped out all the houses but one here and one here. Mm-hmm. Why are those houses still standing? Are they Christian homes? I don't know. There's some reason. He didn't devour those houses. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. When you cast all your cares on him, notice there's a progression. You may not have that perfect peace immediately, but don't despair. Don't take him back. He'll take care of him. Give him time. And then he said, I'll perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And when he settles you, that perfect peace of God that passes all understanding will come upon you. And you'll know that it's taken care of. You cannot put your full trust in God unless you know that you know that you know that he loves you. And that's why the world out there can't trust him. They think he's a mean... I don't even know what words to use. Most of them think that God did this fire and firestorm. If they only knew, the God of this world did do that. That's the devil. Not our God. Amen? Praise God. You know, you have to understand that he loves you. When we were raising our son, he got to the point where he could trust us once he learned that we loved him and weren't going to allow him to do something that would hurt himself. Like when he was trying to learn to ride a bicycle and you got to hold him. They wouldn't trust you to do that until they knew you loved them. And then the first time you let go, man, the trust went. You know? You had to earn it again. But see, if you didn't let go, he wouldn't eventually learn to ride it. And God's the same way. He has to let go of you once in a while so that when you fall, you realize that you still need him. You have to put your trust in God. And you have to know that he loves you in order to do that. Amen? Pray for those in California. Pray for their families. Pray for those that have lost. They've lost houses, homes, businesses. You've got firefighters on the line fighting fires that have lost their own homes. They showed an interview with one local reporter. He's doing an interview. And he's behind him. He turns around and points. He said, that was my house. There's nothing but a shell. They're out there doing their job. Pray for them. Amen. Praise God. God is good.